We're talking with Ken Kilpatrick. He's the education director of the Politically Active Physicians Association, PAPA. You have a very interesting motto posted on your website. That's www.fightingdocs.com. What can you tell us about this? Welcome to the fight of your life, which you must win so you can save a life.
Well, the reason that we have adopted that and we have chosen those words very carefully is because it's been a corner that doctors in Pennsylvania and throughout the United States have been pushed into by personal injury lawyers. Doctors have been sued out of existence, specifically in Pennsylvania, where we have begun our operations in 2002. At that time, there were 2,000 doctors that had left the state. We were afraid at that time that if this continued, that people would ultimately end up hurt and they would end up dead from lack of access, and that has happened. We've considered that a fight for our lives and for our patients' lives.
Many physicians are aware of the need for medical reform, but they're too busy trying to keep their practices and their patients alive to engage on this issue. What do you say to these doctors?
We say to them that we need them to get engaged. We need them to make the time. We need them to get on the phone with their legislators and demand that there is reform for the sake of the patients. Our oath is first, do no harm. And sometimes that means stepping aside from your regular course of duties and fighting for what is right. And that is for these patients who are losing access to quality care. If they don't engage in this fight, they might not have a fight much longer.
Who are your members?
They're mostly physicians, high-risk specialists, orthopedics, OBGYNs, all kinds of different healthcare providers as well, mostly physicians, but we do have folks who are even patients who are concerned.
PAPA's primary focus is medical malpractice reform, and some think of medical malpractice reform as simply an effort to bring about lower malpractice insurance premiums for doctors. Consequently, the public often won't engage either in the legal reform efforts that are undertaken or even just into the discussions around that. Why is this perception wrong?
Well, it's wrong. Well, let me first by saying that the trial lawyers have been at this game a lot longer than the doctors have. They've got maybe 30 years behind them of building up this image of rich doctor and making this battle of rich lawyer versus rich doctor, which they don't mind being positioned in. And the public considers that there's plenty of doctors, that we have enough doctors in supply. My doctor is in practice, so why should I worry about it? And that's exactly where the trial lawyers want the public to be, because if there's a lack of public support for medical liability tort reform, it's not going to happen. Now, the problem with these rampant frivolous lawsuits that we suffer from in Pennsylvania and throughout the United States is the fact that it costs so much that some doctors, regardless of what they are making, can no longer afford to practice. So they are closing down their practices, curtailing services. For example, some OBGYNs are now just practicing gynecology and not delivering babies, or taking early retirements. As a result, this is harming the public, and it is a threat to the public health.
Is this problem unique to Pennsylvania?
No. In fact, the AMA ranks almost half of the states when the United States is crisis states. It's certainly not unique to Pennsylvania, but Pennsylvania has been hit exceptionally hard because of a number of deaths that have occurred because of lack of access to neurosurgeons, particularly in wealthy Philadelphia suburban areas where you would think that such a problem would not exist.
You talked about physicians changing their practice patterns. I mean, maybe an OBGYN no longer doing the OB side of it. You also talked about doctors taking early retirement. Some doctors are moving out of states. If they're moving out of states, where are you seeing them going, and why would they be going someplace else?
Well, they're going to friendlier states, states that may have enacted tort reforms where the cost of medical liability insurance are far lower, where they're able to make a living and provide for their families, and moreover, in many cases, not have to live under the threat of lawsuits, having to see every patient as a potential lawsuit. Doctors need peace of mind. After all, they are in the business of healing and providing peace of mind for others. If their mind is divided, it's impossible for them to really do what they do best. And that's a position that the personal trial lawyers, personal injury lawyers, have put many doctors in, which ultimately jeopardizes patients.
Can you give us some concrete numbers? I know on your website you have some interesting pages that give information about disappearing doctors and closing hospitals. Can you give us some examples and, or maybe, you know, use some numbers to make those specific points?
Sure. And when PAPA started in 2002, it was in response to losing thousands of doctors. At that time, it was about 2,000. Up to at this time, we're probably about 3,000 that have left since the turn of the century. A number of trauma centers and hospitals have closed throughout the state, and the Philadelphia area has been hit the hardest. Now, this is ironic because in Philadelphia, we have some of the nation's, in fact, the world's best medical teaching hospitals, but we cannot get doctors to stay in Pennsylvania or Philadelphia. They get educated here and they leave. We have closed down, there has been about 13 hospitals in the last 10 years in the Philadelphia area that has closed. And most recently, Frankfurt Torsdale division of the Frankfurt Hospital in Northeast Philadelphia closed down its maternity unit, the last maternity unit in Northeast Philadelphia. So if a woman who has an obstetrical emergency shows up, the baby's losing oxygen to the brain, that the baby's not going to live. She does not have the luxury of being transported 45 minutes or an hour, if traffic has mercy, to Northeast or into the Center City. It's just not going to happen.
You talked about doctors being educated in one state and then choosing to move elsewhere to practice medicine because of the lack of appropriate legal reform in the state. I recently read that enrollment is down in medical schools overall. Do you understand that to be the case? And if so, why?
Well, practicing medicine is not what it used to be. People who are looking at it as medicine as a possible career are also looking at what's happening to the industry, and they're seeing that doctors are being sued, that doctors are an easy target, that many elected officials on the state level and certainly on the federal level are not doing enough to change that. And so for one to want to go into a risky position minimizes how many people would like to go in. For example, when I was a soldier, we went into the Army to get college money. We didn't go into the Army to fight a war. Now I've known some 18-year-olds now who won't even go to war or go into the service because they're afraid that they are going to have to go into combat because there's an active war going on right now. And I think perhaps a lot of college students see the medical field as a competitive field because they are targeted as physicians. Even medical residents are getting sued now, so they are probably taking their interests elsewhere.
So starting at the federal level, what can and should we do to reform our healthcare legal climate?
I think we need to reform the members who are in the Congress. There's nothing that we can do to convince those who will not support tort reform. What we need to do is replace those people. There are members in Congress who know that people have died from lack of physician care and will do nothing about it. Why is that? Because the influence of the personal injury lawyers is so prevalent in our Congress. If more people began to become concerned, more physicians and more patients, and called their friends and their representatives in the Congress and in the Senate and demanded reform, that may begin to position us to getting something done. But I think that we need to take a look at people, more reform-minded candidates, and get them elected. And we've seen in the last election that Mr. Nobody can go to Congress.
Taking it now to the state level, what kind of models have you seen in states other than Pennsylvania that you'd like to transport into Pennsylvania to help from a health care standpoint reform?
Well, we always look at California with MICRA in 1974 when they enacted that and they put sensible limits, reasonable limits on damages. That made the amount of frivolous lawsuits far less prevalent. Of course, they still have plenty of lawsuits, and they even have multi-million dollar verdicts. So folks are still getting their justice. When there's a case of malpractice that actually occurs, we want the patient to be compensated. Most doctors do, even if that whatever that costs the doctor, because malpractice is a rare situation, much more rare than the trial bar will make you believe has happened. When states like California and Texas have enacted tort reforms, and we see the results, such as more doctors coming back into the states, lower insurance, medical liability insurance rates, more insurers coming in writing policies, we see that tort reforms do work, and those are the kind of models that we need to follow in Pennsylvania.
Speaking of the trial lawyers, you post information about a Harvard analysis that pits the trial lawyers against doctors, and it claims that 40% of medical malpractice suits are groundless. What can and should be done to help eliminate the filing of these frivolous lawsuits?
Well, I think that we need reasonable limits on the non-economic damages. When lawyers know that there is a possibility of a jackpot at the end of every lawsuit, there's a strong incentive to go ahead and file lawsuits. And frivolous lawsuits, let me define that for you as we see them. A frivolous lawsuit is a lawsuit that should never have been brought to court in the first place. And that may be a lawyer files a lawsuit because of a bad outcome. No malpractice had ever occurred, but it was a bad outcome, and the lawyer saw the opportunity to recruit a patient and convince that patient to file for a lawsuit. Or in the case if there was perhaps a question of malpractice, lawyers sue everybody on the chart. We are familiar with a case where an intern who wrote the discharge summary and never saw the patient was sued. So we would like to suggest that there would be a limit on, sensible limit on non-economic damages and on attorney contingency fees.
Philip Howard of Common Good has been a tort reform hero for many years, and he has been calling for healthcare courts to be established. What do you think of that idea?
Well, that is an idea that we are looking into. It's certainly an idea that has some merit. And that is because medical malpractice cases, medical cases in general, are very complex cases, and it's difficult for regular folk, everyday folks on a jury to understand the different intricacies of an operation and what goes on in biology. And if you're like me and barely made it through biology and the skin of your teeth, you probably don't belong in a jury that's deciding a complex malpractice or case. Whereas special courts would narrow that down, and we would have more specialized verdicts come out that make more sense.
The Politically Active Physicians Association has partnered with Medical Justice to work on tort reform. What can you tell us about this joint effort?
Well, I can't say enough about Medical Justice. These folks have got a great idea. They call it DIY tort reform, do-it-yourself tort reform. We've partnered with them because tort reform, although it will happen in Pennsylvania, is not on the horizon soon. So we're asking our physicians to protect yourself and protect yourself now. Medical Justice, its key role is deterrence, deterring a lawsuit from happening in the first place. So they'll go into, they'll partner with a physician, and they'll set up an infrastructure where the patient and the physician sign a patient-physician agreement. Basically, what that says from the patient side is, I will not file a frivolous lawsuit against you. And in the case, if there is a disagreement, a lawsuit is filed, that a specialist in that physician's specialty will look at the case rather than, say, a chiropractor looking at a surgery case and rendering a decision.
Under the auspice of Protect Yourself and Protect Yourself Now, PEPA has some great materials on its website to help physicians educate their patients on medical malpractice crisis. What do you have available, and why should physicians visit it?
Well, we have a number of things that are available. We have brochures. We have posters. We have items that they can order right from PAPA and just pay for the shipping if they're a member. And these items are meant to be placed in the waiting room rather than magazines for patients to waste their time reading, to educate patients, to let them know what's going on with the medical crisis and what is happening and what that's costing patients and how they're losing access to healthcare. And patients who are sitting in a physician's office for 45 minutes should understand this isn't because the physician's taking a break, it's because the physician, we're losing physicians. We just don't have enough.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time. We've been talking with Ken Kilpatrick. He's the Education Director of the Politically Active Physicians Association, where they welcome you to the fight of your life, which you must win so you can save a life.
Thank you.